The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Welcome back to TKR. This is the UAB Director's Chair. We do it with the UAB Athletic Director, Mark Ingram, every single week right here on the TKR app. We play the show at least five times a week. And, of course, you can hear it in infamy forever on our podcast network, Tony Curry Radio Podcast, or just search a UAB Director's Chair, and it'll pop right up there. And we talk to Mark Ingram every single week, and he joins us right now. Mark, how you doing, brother? Everything good?
Doing good, man. How you doing today?
Doing fantastic. Let's jump right into it. A question we actually had from a listener last week, info@tonycurryradio.net, wanted to know about expansion of Bartow Arena, and I understand there's some breaking news you'd like to share here on your Director Share Show about Phase 1. Tell us what's going on.
Well, we have intention of renovating the arena. We'd like to really look at our fan areas first. You know, anybody that's ever been with me and had a kind of a deep dive discussion about, you know, facilities and my philosophy around it, I always start with the player areas and then move to fan areas. So if you look at what we did in football, we built the practice facility for our team and coaches, and then we moved our attention to building protective stadium. Same thing in basketball. We built a practice facility that we opened a year ago for men's and women's basketball. That was priority number one. And now we're going to look at the arena. And that's because I say, you know, jokingly, but I am serious. You know, if tonight the Nuggets and the Heat were going to play out in the parking lot, I'd go watch them play out in the parking lot, right?
Sure.
Because the team is great. So if the team is great, people will go watch them play. And that's been generally my concept as how we build and do things for our teams to improve our program. You take care of the team, the player areas first, and then move to the fan areas. So, you know, now what we want to do is we want to look at the arena, and it has been a great building for us for a long time. We've seen a lot of great basketball there. The bones of the building are really good, but we'd like to do some things like renovate the concourse and the restroom areas, and maybe even create some premium seating areas for our fans to sort of modernize the building to be more in keeping with what you see modern facilities around the country doing, similar to protective stadiums, things that are more like that. We watch games differently than we used to. I remember as a kid going to a game with my parents or my dad, and we'd get into the gate, and the first thing we had to do was go to the restroom, because he didn't want to have to get up again. And the second thing we did was we went to the concession stand, and then we went to find our seat, and then we didn't move. We sat in that seat, and we didn't get up out of that seat until the game was over. And, you know, that was it. That's not the way people watch games anymore.
Yeah.
It's more of a social experience. We want to go. I want to see my friends. I want to walk around. I want to take pictures. I want to take pictures with my friends. I want to share those pictures, you know, on social media, whether that's in front of a graphic in the concourse or, you know, some statue or monument or, you know, marquee location in the building. That's the sort of thing that people want to do, and which is all fine. You know, you want people to have a good time. It's all, again, part of the total experience. And so we're going to look at how can we do that in Bartow Arena and serve our fans, as well as create something that when our coaches bring recruits in, they're really wowed by it. And the other thing that's important to me is that we have a lot of former great players. We have a Hall of Fame, an athletics Hall of Fame, but we don't have anywhere that it's displayed. And so we need to find a way to demonstrate and display our history, not just in basketball and volleyball, the three sports that play at Bartow, not just those sports, but all of our teams, because we have a proud history with it's not a short history, but we've got a proud history with a lot of former greats, great coaches, great players that we'd like to display and, again, sort of bring our concourse back to life.
How old is that facility?
Yeah, it's more than 35 years old, Tony. So it's been around for a while.
Indeed. The UAB director, Sherry's Mark Ingram. He is the athletic director. You can follow him at UAB_AD on Twitter. And, of course, go to UABSports.com for everything going on. I did see a very interesting article this morning on UABSports.com about the Blazer Boosters launching a program called Power Up just in time for UAB's inclusion into the AAC. Can you tell us what that's about and how we can help?
Yeah, it's just a challenge to our fans, recognizing that we are competing at a higher level. The teams in the American Conference, generally speaking, raise more money than we do. They sell more season tickets than we do, and if we want to be competitive with those teams, we've got to demonstrate that we're ready to do that. And so we're just asking everybody to consider, you know, increasing their support if they're already supportive, or go get a friend and get them in the boat, so to speak. Get them to buy tickets. Get your friend, your neighbor that borrows your tickets when you're not here. Maybe get them to buy season tickets, and just trying to increase our attendance through ticket sales and through Blazer Boosters, which is our giving arm of UAB Athletics. So we're excited about it, and it's just a little mini campaign to try to increase our membership.
And by the way, we're less than 100 days away from college football kicking off, and I am so stoked about Trent Dilfer being the head coach down there, and I just want to come down, and I can't believe he's going to be walking the sidelines down a Protective Stadium. I just think it's super cool. So if that's not a reason to buy tickets, for sure, UABSports.com. He's Mark Ingram here, UAB Director's Chair. We mention this every single week, and we almost have to, the NIL situation and a couple other breaking stories. And by the way, we're doing our four best bands we share passions with our kids with, which was one of the most difficult lists I've ever had to come up, because I know I've got four bands that I force down the throats of my children. I make them listen to Tony Curry Radio, but I try to take a couple of their bands on in earnestness as well. Senator Tommy Tuberville came out yesterday, and he's working with Joe Manchin, refining a bill that is in text form right now. They're working with coaches, ADs, and administrators. In Washington, D.C., he said the NIL rules right now are an absolute disaster. We have got to rein things in. And he really talked about the transfer portal, the fact that some kids can commit and leave before they even take a snap or a shot with their basketball teams. And on top of that, something that broke right before we started recording the show, EA Sports is coming out with their college football game in 2024. They have amassed a cash pool of $5 million, which sounds like a lot, but which means every college football player will get only $500 if they appear in the game, with no royalties included. And of course, the College Football Players Association is urging a boycott. You and I briefly talked before we started the show. I would give anything to be in a video game. I think that would be super cool. Can you talk about, as an athletic director, what are some things right off the bat, generally speaking, that you'd like to see our government, and normally when the government gets involved, that's not a good thing. In this particular case, maybe it is, but what would you like to see as far as an NIL rules goes when it comes to trying to shore things in? Because it's gotten out of control. It's the wild, wild west right now.
It definitely is, and Coach Senator Tuberville is doing his best to help us, which I greatly appreciate, and I think everyone else does too. There's a number of things. I mean, number one, I think these pay-for-play collectives have got to be addressed. I don't know why I don't see more about that. If there's some fear, collectives are not businesses. They are simply, it's just a way to skirt the rules to pay players through some fictitious, you know, sort of quid pro quo back. The player puts out some tweet about supporting such and such collective, and that's supposed to suffice. Like that's a, like they've participated in the use of their name, image, and likeness. This whole thing was created because people thought that that players should be able to sell their jerseys, people thought that they should be able to do autograph signings for pay, or maybe appear on a billboard or a commercial for a local business. That's how this started. Collectives don't do business. They don't do any business. And the few collectives that are out there that have aligned with some charity and give, 3% of their monies to this charity so they can claim that they're actually a charitable arm, I think they ought to be embarrassed of themselves to say that they're doing that. I think it's disgusting. And the fact that they would I don't know. I just think they should be embarrassed. And I watch some of my very good friends and peers talk about it. And I just think, I don't know how you say it with a straight face that, you know, you're out there saying, well, if you give to our collective, you're also supporting children's hospital, sick children that don't you want to, and they give 3% to the kids.
Yeah.
And the rest goes, you know, 20% goes to administrative fees, 3% goes to the kids, and then 70%, 75% goes to the players. That's what it's for. It's not some charitable thing. And so the collectives, we got to get a handle on. I don't think they should exist in any form, personally. That's number one. Number two, we've got to find a better way to keep people from recruiting off of our rosters with inducements. And that's what's happening. Other staffs, larger staffs, they know our roster as well as we know our roster. And our kids are coming to us, showing us text messages or social media direct messages from other staffs where they're saying, hey, if you came here, we would pay you X.
Wow.
And, you know, Trent Dilfer, for example, is just calling those coaches and saying, I'm not going to turn you in, but look, this is not okay with me.
Yeah.
And of course, those coaches always act like they have no idea. Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I, you know,
mm-hmm.
And, but you know, if you're the player and you have, like all of us had no money in college, right? They're no different really than any of us. You don't have a job. I mean, you've got all your expenses being paid for through the athletic department in terms of housing and meals and travel and gear. So you're surviving, but you're certainly not wealthy. And then somebody says, hey, we'll give you $50,000.
Yeah.
And you come over here, or $100,000, and you come over here and you get the money and an opportunity to start. Well, Tony, I've got an opportunity to start. I mean, you know, if I had any eligibility, that doesn't mean I'm going to start.
Sure.
They toss a jersey on you and put you out there on the field. Everybody's got an opportunity, you know, and then some of these kids, you know, sometimes they'll have their parents pressure them. Hey, this would be life-changing money for us. You know, we need the help. And you know, everyone's socioeconomic background is different. It's a lot of pressure for a kid. And it's hard to see through the forest for the trees, you know, and to know that if they're really good and they stayed here and continue to start for us versus going there, wherever there is, and being a backup or a special teams player, their opportunity to play at the next level is actually better here because they're on the field and get more snaps than going somewhere else. And we've got example after example of guys that thought they were going to, you know, sort of transfer up, so to speak, and then they never got on the field or barely did. And their NFL opportunity actually shrank because
yeah.
They don't have as much film, and it kind of created an impression that, oh, you can't really run with the big guys.
Yeah.
If you can't play at that school, then why could you play, you know, at an even higher level? And so they don't ever even make it to camp to show their worth.
So let me back up just a little bit because I'm getting a little confused here as a college football fan, and I'll use football as an example here. So if the government does get involved in this and there is some type of bill that's proposed for the whole NIL thing, and it's unfortunate that it just we didn't see this coming, right? We saw this coming
right.
3 years ago. We knew
it was going to happen.
And I listen. I think it's horrible that someone would use a charity in order to make money, but unfortunately, there's a lot of non-for-profits that do that just that, because when we get money in our hands, we do stupid things. So if, in fact, there would be some type of situation where someone was doing something that wasn't according to the law, where would that go? Is that an NCAA issue?
It's not against the law.
Yeah.
It's not against the law.
Is this being drafted for the NCAA or is this being drafted for the colleges? Okay.
Yeah. I mean, the poaching off of another roster has always been impermissible.
Yeah.
Now you just have money to entice the kid away.
Yeah.
And so the coaches who are of the mindset that they don't mind trying to avoid the law in terms of NCAA, if they are of that ilk, they have always been of that ilk. Now they just have money to wave in front of a kid to make it even more difficult for the kid to say no.
Yeah.
And so it's not against the law. It's against the rules. And so they say, hey, you come here, you'll make this much money. And then they just pay them through their pay-for-play collective, which which nobody's enforcing. Nobody's enforcing or even acting as if that's not okay. And the coaches, the way the NCAA is set up, and this used to work, is that the coaches are supposed to police themselves. You know, I was at the school, and Tony Curry was at the school, and Tony Curry did the thing he's not supposed to do.
Yeah.
You know, there used to be times you could be at the school and talk to the coach, but not the player, right?
Mm-hmm.
This kind of thing. Oh, but I saw Tony had his arm around the kid. I took a picture of him. Well, that's what coaches are supposed to do, but they don't do it. And the reason they don't do it is because then they kind of become labeled as a whistleblower. Mm-hmm. So they'd rather just, you know, be frustrated with it and still hope they get the kid, you know. But so the whole idea that coaches are going to tell on each other, really, they're a bit of a fraternity that they don't really want to do that.
Yeah.
And so that doesn't work as well as we'd like it to work.
I guess the honor system has to work here to an extent, but I always...
It works in the military, but we're not in the military.
Well, yeah.
Different level of honor, right?
Exactly. And, you know, I'll go back to something my dad used to tell me. Sometimes it's easier to ask for forgiveness than it is for permission.
Right.
And the other thing is, I think it's a total joke, and we see this at every major institute, is the secondary violations. And... You know, everyone does secondary violations. I mean, everybody reports 22 to 30 secondary violations. If you end up picking up a biscuit off the street and give it to a recruit, it's a secondary violation.
It's
unbelievable. But I mean,
I'll tell you this, Tony, any school that at the end of their year says, we went through the whole year, and they brag about this, we went through the whole year and we didn't have any secondary violations.
They're lying.
You know what that means? They're not monitoring.
Yeah.
The rules are constantly changing or being amended, and the secondaries are things that happen that you didn't realize, oh my goodness, I didn't realize I called them a second time, or I called them and another member of the staff called them, and then you turn it in. Hey, I'm on the up and up. We made a mistake. Mistakes are okay. The NCAA is okay with mistakes. It's repeated mistakes with the same thing, the same people, and not monitoring. But these schools that go, we went the whole year, didn't have one.
Yeah.
That means they have no one working in compliance and their coaches don't care about it.
I'll use a quote from my good friend I did when I first started doing sports radio, Sonny Smith, of course, the Auburn legend. He said, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying, first of all. And second of all, he was talking about a local coach, and I won't say who it is, for a local university. And he said, he'll never be successful because he does not know how to push the envelope. He's too clean. It just doesn't work.
Yeah.
Well, he doesn't report any secondary violations. Yeah, it doesn't work.
Yeah, the gray area, which is, here's the rule. How can we stay within the rules but get creative and do something that's not impermissible, but maybe nobody else has thought of?
Yeah,
you know. And there's a million little things on that. You know, like if I go to a restaurant with a recruit at a time that they're not on their official visit, the recruit has to buy their meal. Okay. But I bought a meal and I got appetizers. I can pay for the appetizers, but the kid can eat some of the appetizers, but I can pay for those.
Yeah.
And that's within the rules. You know, it's just stuff like that.
That's kind
you know,
of crazy, yeah.
I can go to a restaurant, but the restaurant has to be within, you know, a mile of campus. And and so, you know, we got to find that restaurant that's within a mile of campus. Where can we go, you know?
Yeah. This is the UAB Director's Chair. He's Mark Ingram, UAB_AD on Twitter. Of course, you go to UABsports.com to check out everything that athletics at UAB are into, and they're doing fantastic here, and he joined us every week. We do talk some classic rock, something you brought up a couple of months ago. We've gotten into the Mount Rushmore of many different things, and this week I'll let you pick where we wanted to go, and that was the four best bands that we share passions with our kids. This is funny because Father's Day is coming up on the 18th and James Taylor is in town, and I've got my kids on Father's Day. Obviously I have them till 6 o'clock. The show starts at 7:30. And I was actually thinking about taking my kids to James Taylor. I have an 11, a 16 and an 18-year-old. And I don't think they even know a James Taylor song. And I'm thinking to myself, do I really want to go to a James Taylor concert with my kids? First of all, even though it's Father's Day. And second of all, would they even enjoy a show like that? I'm 57. Obviously I'm a big James Taylor fan. So I'm going to try to figure that out. So that's not one of those bands that I would share with my kids. I have, and I know your children, well, you have children of all ages as well. I have been trying to recognize and realize and listen to some of my kids' favorite bands just to kind of be cool, be that cool dad. And there are obviously a lot of classic rock bands that are still incredibly relevant in their lives. They may not know who sings these songs, but if you go to a UAB football game, you're going to hear Thunderstruck, and they know that band. I don't even know if you have any honorable mentions this week. I'm assuming you do. We'll start there, and then give me your first band.
Yeah, I've got a couple, but this was difficult because music has changed so much, and the style of music, I don't love as much as, you know, I guess I just like my parents probably would say that about the music I love. Your musical palette doesn't evolve as well as you'd like. But in my honorable mention category, I'd put One Republic. I like those guys. Nice. One Republic's pretty good. Yeah. Imagine Dragons. Some of my kids love them. Some hate them. But I like their creativity. Both of them are creative. I like the fact that a lot of their music, kind of like Queen, is very different. Like, not every song sounds the same. It's mm-hmm. not similar. They creatively do a lot of different things, one song to the next. So there's a couple of groups, that I'd put in the honorable mention category.
All right. Give me first band. This is going to be really interesting.
You don't have any honorable mentions? You have
no, I don't. I gotta be honest with you, because I mean, I could mention, you know, the kids are into the rap and the hip hop stuff. And normally when I hear, like I've taken my son to an NBA game and that's all they play. And I'm like, who is this? Who is this? And he knows every single
one
of them.
All. Yeah.
And I have no clue unless it's LL Cool J or Tone Loc or something from the state, you know, some Run DMC.
And going back to Cali.
Even Run DMC is not cool anymore. And by the way, just to show the difference here. And of course, I was kind of a late bloomer. I didn't have my first kid till I was in my late 30s. But my son the other night, we were watching television and Jaws came on and I said, dude, you've got to watch this movie. And he said, oh, that was the movie that kept people out of the water the entire year in 1977 or whatever. We watched the first half an hour and he said, dad, this movie sucks. This is the worst movie I've ever. I said, you haven't seen enough. And it really does. I mean, if you look at Jaws now, you know, he's getting ready for Meg 2 coming out this summer.
Yeah.
And I said, we didn't have computers back there, man. We couldn't do, you know, computer animation. He goes, this is the worst movie I've ever seen. And it's a lot. Our music's a lot like our movies. The movies we remember is great. Kids look at them now and they're like, this is terrible. They can't even sit through 2 hours. So, I'll start with my first band, and it's got to be AC/DC. My son knows I'm a huge AC/DC fan. They're playing October 7th from the Empire Polo Fields for the Power Trip tour. It's the first time they played in 7 years. They're celebrating their 50th anniversary this year. I hope they go on tour. But he hears AC/DC at every UAB event we go to, every Titans event, every Cincinnati Bengals game we go to. And so it's been force-fed, and he likes them. They rock, and he's a rocker. He knows here at Tony Curry Radio I get after it. He listens to my app. So AC/DC would have to be a band that we actually share, and I would love to be able to take him to an AC/DC concert as a father-son combo. But I have to start with AC/DC. Who do you have?
Okay, so we're taking a different approach to this.
That's good. That's fine.
You've got bands that both of you like. These are all artists that my kids like.
Okay.
First.
That's great.
And that they, you know, sort of convince me to tolerate.
Gotcha.
So the Killers is a band that my kids like, and that's more modern rock than the classic rock stuff that we talk about, but. I've never seen the Killers, but I like their music. You know, it's kind of an edgier modern rock sound that I can live with, and my kids seem to like. So yeah, there's my first one on the list.
And my last three actually are kids bands, because I could take four classic rock bands and say my kids like them, but I'd be lying.
Yeah.
And it's amazing because I had a father-daughter dance earlier this year with my daughter, and they were playing Radio Gaga, and she loves that song. And I said, do you know who sings that song? She said, Queen. I said, that song sucked when it came out. And I said, now you guys love that song?
Yeah, right.
She's like, oh, that's Queen. I was like, yeah. So Queen would certainly have to be one of those bands. My daughter is a Katy Perry fan, and I'll tell you right now, she's soft in the eyes. I think she's fantastic. She's kept it super clean. Her music is inspirational. There's that new elemental Nashville movie coming out with Disney. I think it's coming out this weekend. And they use her song Hot and Cold. The other night, my daughter was getting ready to take a shower and she was listening to Hot and Cold from Katy Perry. And I just love watching her sing. And the fact that she did a halftime at a Super Bowl, which is really something that doesn't matter how old you are, you can enjoy a halftime show. So that's another band. I'd say Katy Perry. My daughter loves Katy Perry and I do too.
Yeah, I like Katy Perry. She's got a great voice. And that's like my next one, Lady Gaga, who I think has got an awesome voice, super talented. You know, she is just incredibly diverse in her approach. You know, she's, you know, some people say, oh, she's crazy weird. Well, I think she can be. And then I think at the same time, sort of as an entertainer, she, you know, you see her in a movie with Bradley Cooper and she's acting and, but just a golly, what a powerful voice that she has. And also appeared in a Super Bowl. So, as a modern artist, I think she's terrific.
Yeah, she's fantastic. I'd have to agree. I'm not a big Lady Gaga fan. I do like her hats. But you know what? I think she plays, I think she's, she reminds me a little bit of David Bowie, and maybe some Alice Cooper in that she's kind of playing a part. I'm not saying she's not into funky, weird stuff. But yeah, when you see her in movies and she can, man, I'm dating myself, but Lady Gaga with Tony Bennett was fantastic. I mean, it was unbelievable. His last concert he did was fantastic. So I'd agree with that. Another band that played, and I'm not a huge fan of his music, but I do hear the music a lot. And I like, who is that? That I'm warming up to is The Weeknd. Another band that The Weeknd obviously played another Super Bowl.
Yeah,
wasn't really blown away by the fact that he was going to be. I was like, wow, we've had The Who, we've had, you know, Beyonce, we have all these huge, Paul McCartney playing. And then who's this Weeknd guy? I don't even know who this guy is, but it was a great show. I loved the choreograph of the entire thing. He did it work. He's walking through the tunnel, everything. And I became somewhat of a fan. And I know my oldest son, you know, The Weeknd's not cool anymore. It's kind of like Pitbull. Pitbull was kind of cool. It was like Pitbull was super cool for us, pasty white 50-year-old dudes because we wanted to be cool again. And Pitbull was, and he's kind of out. So now it's like you say Pitbull and they kind of go, whatever. But I'm going to put a Weeknd, in there. What's your next one?
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah. I like Coldplay. I think Coldplay is really good. I like, their music. I think again, they mix it up a lot. Great voice. I've never seen them live, but I've seen some video of some of their concerts, which just look like a lot of fun. Looks like people are really into their music and big crowds, big stadiums. And I think going to a Coldplay show would be really good. So I like those guys.
Coldplay. There you go. And my last one is going to be a band you brought up earlier in your in your honorable mentions, Imagine Dragons. It's a band that's kind of transcended the music industry. It's hard not to hear a commercial or see them doing some type of a concert, a live DVD, whatever it is, Imagine Dragons. And I tried to find, if it's not rap, Mark, as long as it's not rap and I can understand the words, I'm open to listen to it and try to enjoy it. And I don't like hearing profanity in my music. I don't want to hear any derogatory or misogynistic type of language, which is very relevant and prevalent in a lot of hip hop stuff. If that's what you're into, you do you, I'll do me. But when it's good, clean, fun, and it rocks, and the kids got the harmony and the melody, and they like the song, then I'm probably on board with it. So I'm going to go Imagine Dragons is my last one. Who's your last one?
That's a good one. Well, somehow I've miscounted here, Tony. I'm going to give you two more.
Oh, that's fine.
Jack Johnson, I think, is really good. I like his music.
Yes.
I think, you know, he's got a great story on how he learned to play the guitar. You know, he was injured. I can't remember what the injury was, but he was in the hospital for a long time. Like he had a car accident or something. And he taught himself how to play guitar while laying in the hospital and has then now flipped that to a fantastic musical career. But I like his sound and he has this very, I don't know if I want to say Hawaiian beach sound, but I feel like every time I listen to him, I imagine myself being on some Hawaiian island or something. I think Jack Johnson's great.
He's fantastic. You know where I heard him first?
Where?
I heard him on the Curious George movie. That was one of those situations where I was listening to it. It was kind of like a ukulele kind of sound. He was doing Somewhere with a Rainbow, and I was like, who is this? And it's his music sounds so simple. Like you and I could write the songs, but yet they're just fantastic songs. I'm with you. And who's your last one?
Yeah, the last one is our main man, Sam Hunt.
There you go. How can we not
talk about Sam Hunt? I love Sam's music. Of course, I love that he played football here. I love that he's a Blazer, but I really like his music. And I'm not generally a country music guy. Not that I don't like some country music. I think over time I'm starting to like it more. I really didn't like it very much as a young man, but I'm liking it more. But he, and I know he falls under the category of country music, I guess, but he's kind of right in the middle. You know what I mean? Like he's a bit top 40 and a bit country. And anyway, I love Sam's music. I like a lot of stuff that he does. And in fact, I can't think of anything he does that I don't like. So yeah, Sam Hunt, and he's great in concert. We saw him down there the night before we played our first football game in 2017 down there at the site of now Protective Stadium. And what a great show that was in front of 23,000 fans who wanted to see Sam perform before our first game. And I've seen him since, and he's a terrific guy too, by the way, and loves UAB. Anyway, great musician, great artist.
I love it. Fantastic list. I'll come up with something for next week. We'll get back into some more UAB sports, uabsports.com, UAB_AD if you want to check out Mark Ingerman on Twitter and, of course, Facebook and wherever else he's on social media. Mark, as always, thank you so much. We'll catch up next week.
Sounds great, Tony. Thank you.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.